almost weekend or start of the weekend. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're good. I hope you're safe wherever you might be. Shout outs to everybody on the roads, the highways, the byways, the delivery drivers, people sitting at home, people on the computer, people with the radio on. I'm just glad that you're here. And thank you to Nico Scarlatos holding it down for us today in New York City. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app. You can lock in live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, Sirius XM channel 158, and a smart speaker where all you have to do is ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific is when we get started. And we've already talked about a lot, so much. First of all, thank you to our guest, Cordell Woodland from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, for dropping that knowledge, giving us that information. After that terrible loss that the Chiefs gave the Ravens last night. Things are okay in Baltimore. They got the Raiders up next. I think they'll take care of business. I wouldn't worry so much. Also, things are underway in Brazil. São Paulo, Brazil, fourth largest city on earth. Right now, Green Bay leads Philadelphia. The score is 6-0. The Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, ugly start. First two drives, turnovers. First drive, interception. Second drive, a fumble at the snap. The results, ugly. Green Bay taking advantage of two early field goals. Philadelphia needs to be lucky. The scores are not bigger. And I feel the Eagles are being reminded of how the season ended last year. Hopefully not a blowout. Hopefully not a blowout. I got one more hour here with you. If you want to give me a holler, you can. The phone number is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. You could also find me online on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief, where people send me funny things, like the tweet that I received earlier that I will read again because it humored me so much, from Pitmaster, number. Hey, JR, at JR Sport Brief. Lamar Jackson is a great, great football player, A++++, but he's a C+ quarterback. I think his best comparison is Steve Young. Okay, then. Yeah. You figure that one out. Yeah, you listening. If you have a better idea of what that means or if it makes any sense, let me know. I would take Steve Young any day of the week. I don't get it. Anyway. Hey, welcome to the world of Twitter or X, where I think, as you know, if you utilize the tool, crazy things abound. And as I hang out here with you for this last hour of the show, this last hour of the week, crazy things, they do abound. Okay, I'm going to share with you, of course, at the end of the show, a few things that took place this day in sports history. Today is September 6th, 2024. We're going to go back in time. And speaking of crazy things, I mentioned to you Angel Reese having to endure a lot of crazy things being written to her. A lot more crazy than, tweets about Steve Young and Lamar Jackson comparisons. We'll get into that. But let's take a look at some of the news that we've had come through the NFL scope today. How about this big news? That Russell Wilson is now questionable to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday as they come here to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Russell Wilson dealt with a calf injury, strained his calf about more than a month ago at the early portion of training camp. Was able to come back, but then a couple of days ago, he tweaked it again. We know he was named the starting quarterback, but now Justin Fields might get that call here in Atlanta at home against the Falcons. Russell Wilson spoke to the media, and he gave an update during his media scrum about his availability. Listen to this.
The biggest thing is you hate these, the nagging things. I've been feeling great, honestly, the past few weeks. I've been feeling really good. So just kind of felt a little funny yesterday. I think the most important thing is just getting prepared to win. I think that's our focus right now, doing whatever we can, obviously myself included, and obviously getting ready to rock and roll and you know, I'll be ready to go. If I can go, I'm going to go and try to do everything I can to help us win. That's how I think about it. And if not, I'm going to do everything I can to help us win in that way, too. So I'm going to do everything I can, as you guys know, to be ready to rock.
Man, it stinks. It stinks when we haven't even, like, a team hasn't started the regular season. Obviously, they started the regular season last night. But it just sucks when your team hasn't got going. And ain't nothing to show for it yet. Your guys aren't even ready to go. And speaking of ready to go, hey, Saquon Barkley paying off in dividends here. A touchdown. Jalen Hurts connecting with Saquon Barkley. Touchdown 7-6. Saquon Barkley making an immediate impact. Hey, Nico, I know you're a New York Giants fan. You upset that this guy's gone, or you understand it?
Yeah, watching him score that touchdown hurt a little bit. I won't lie to you.
No, but were you in favor? Are you okay with the fact that he left, or are you pained? You're pained then, huh? Not happy you wanted to keep him?
No, so I'm okay with him leaving the Giants because I think that paying running backs isn't the way to go. I mean, we've seen multiple teams do that now in the NFL. My issue is going to a division rival like the Eagles. I mean, he could have went anywhere, and he chose to go to the team that is the biggest rival of the team that drafted him. I don't know if I'm a fan of that, but it's his decision, so I guess he has the liberties to do what he wants.
Yeah, it's a business. Go wherever he wants. Make his money. Good for him. Philadelphia Eagles on the board. Maybe Eagles fans feel a little bit better now. Eagles lead 7-6 down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Free agent. Someone who's not a free agent. We don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. This is odd because he has 2 years left on his deal. It's Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is looking for a big contract. His buddy, LSU buddy. Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings is the highest paid wide receiver in the game on an annual basis, $35 million a year. Second highest paid is CeeDee Lamb at 34. Ja'Marr Chase is looking for the cash. He's looking for the money. And earlier today, for the first time in the offseason, flattened period, he spoke to the media and he gave an update in his media scrum on his contract dispute with the Bengals.
Contract status pretty good, for real. I want to say we're off a little bit, but, you know, it's in reach. But we'll see by game day.
We'll see by game day. He also made it very clear whether or not he plays on game day is going to be a game day decision. Meanwhile, wide receiver number two, T. Higgins, he's dealing with a leg injury. There's no guarantee that he's going to suit up. And so Joe Burrow might be, you know, he might be throwing passes to me. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to play, whether they get a contract done or not. And I had mentioned this earlier in the show. I know it's the Bengals, renowned cheapskates. Bengals will rewash the jock straps, charge the players for Gatorade and water, won't have free lunch in the cafeteria. I think the Bengals will get this done before they play on Sunday. Ja'Marr Chase also answered a little bit of a joke. There's a rumor been going around that he wants one penny more than Justin Jefferson. Ja'Marr Chase is like, I think bigger than that.
A lot of rumors. Is it true that the reports that you want one penny more than Justin Jefferson?
If I
want
to beat Justin, I'm going to beat the shit out of Justin. Not by a penny, brother. So.
Not by a penny. Oh, make a whole lot more than him. And he won't, though. He won't. He won't. Just give this guy $34 million as well. Or maybe give him $33 right behind CD. Ja'Marr Chase spoke to the media and he says, yeah, I know what's going on. The market has been set. I think he'll be active come Sunday. I believe he'll be active. Somebody else who got himself a deal today. Highest paid cornerback in the NFL by $100,000. His name is Jalen Ramsey. After Patrick Surtain pulled in $24 million on a new contract that he agreed to this week, in a funny way, Jalen Ramsey, too many Jalen's playing, Jalen Ramsey in Miami, Jalen Ramsey is getting $24.1 million, $100,000 more than Patrick Surtain. Right? It's the principle. Just give me a dollar more. Give me $100K more. Interesting. Congratulations. Jalen Ramsey getting a new contract and the Miami Dolphins going, hate to tell you, nowhere. Nowhere. Miami Dolphins are going nowhere. We know the NFL is going international. I just told you about the score between Philadelphia and Green Bay. Green Bay looking to hit back. About 12 minutes to go here in the first half of the game. Philadelphia leading Green Bay 7-6. It's not the only announcement that we got today. This is not a big one. But why is the NFL even in Brazil? Before we heard from Russell Wilson about his strained calf, before we learned about Jalen Ramsey and his contract extension making him the highest paid cornerback in the NFL, before we even heard that Jamar Chase was going to play or not play, Roger Goodell was on the Today Show, and he talked about why this game, right now, this minute, this second, is taking place in Brazil, and he said it's all about expanding the NFL's brand. Might as well just say because we want their money.
Well, our intention is to make American football global. So we're taking our game everywhere we can. We expect someday in the near future we'll be playing 16 regular season games over the season. This is our first time in South America, as you mentioned. The reception has been extraordinary. And I think the real goal is to share our game. When we share it with fans, they love it. And this will be the spark that sort of lights the flame down here to really get this game at a different position.
And I told you, I think the NFL is, they're going to take advantage of this game. They're going to take advantage of what will be the growth of flag football as it's going to make its debut at the Olympics in Los Angeles in 2028. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to implement a satellite, you know, flag football league or flag football leagues in other parts of the country. Well, not the country, the world. I think it's going to take some work. But if you ain't playing soccer, and you're interested in football, you might give flag football a look. And I think everybody with the footwork and in soccer, the popularity of soccer all over the world, I think people would certainly go out there and give it a look. Right now, the Green Bay Packers are trying to put some more points up on the board. 7-6, Philadelphia leads Green Bay. Earlier today, or yesterday, I should say, Jordan Love, he talked about his excitement of playing in Brazil. Take a listen to this.
I'm excited to be here. It's an awesome experience, once-in-a-lifetime experience playing first-ever NFL game here in Brazil. So that's awesome. It's been nothing but love since we got here. Fans were at the airport last night. They're at the hotel. So definitely a lot of love, and I'm excited to see what the atmosphere is like in the stadium tomorrow for the game. I know it's going to be rocking. So I'm very excited. I'm glad to hear that the Brazilians are all ready to be Packer fans now, so we're converting everybody, but I'm excited. It's nothing but love since we've been here.
Yeah, it's a lot of love in the stadium right now as Green Bay has the ball and is looking to put some points up on the board. It's exciting just to see what the Green Bay Packers do this season. I already kind of beat down on the Eagles enough as to how last year ended and what they started this game with. They're lucky to have the lead at this point after the two consecutive turnovers to start the game. Score, there we go. That did not last long. That did not last long. Touchdown, Green Bay. Jaden Reed. You talk about all the wide receivers on the Green Bay Packers between Watson, Reed, Dobbs. It took them five plays to go 60 yards. Did it in a little more than 2 minutes. Points on the board. 12-2, Green Bay leads these Eagles. Reed got the ball straight out of the hands of Jordan Love on a wraparound and decided to wrap and run his behind into the end zone. 13-7 with the extra point. Green Bay leads Philadelphia. And this is what Packer fans wanted to see. Can they pick up on the momentum that they started last year or finish the year with? They started last year like crap. They finished 6-2. They beat the Dallas Cowboys in a shocker, 48-32. I think the Dallas Cowboys are still trying to figure out what hit them. And then they ultimately only lost to San Francisco by a field goal, 24-21, with a chance to go to the Super Bowl on the line. Not ready for prime time there. Not yet. But the Green Bay Packers, they are certainly trying to move things ahead and show everybody that the end of last season, heading into the playoffs, was certainly not a fluke. Not at all. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about something that, dare I say, was not a fluke. These two young ladies have worked for what the hell they got. We're going to talk about Caitlin Clark, but more importantly, Angel Reese. I told you a couple days ago she had a podcast coming, and there was no way in hell I was going to listen to it. But I was going to take a listen to any of these big clips that came out of it. Well, of course, in the first episode, Caitlin Clark was a talking point, and we're going to discuss that on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to holler at me, 855-212-4227. We'll hear from Angel Reese about Caitlin Clark on the other side of the break. Don't move. Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. I told you about that last Green Bay Packers score. That extra point was nullified. The Packers then decided to go for a two-point conversion. Not successful. So the score is 12-7. A little more than 8 minutes to go in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I told you also before the break that Angel Reese has officially launched the first episode of her podcast. Yep. If you need something to listen to and you're just kind of bored out there on the road and you don't want to listen or lock into the Infinity Sports Network, I'm not advocating that. I'm actually being sarcastic, which is not nice. Listen to Angel Reese's podcast. Just debuted. Unapologetically Angel. Now, I made the point when we found out about this a few weeks ago. I would not be doing this right now, today. Her team, the Chicago Sky, has a record of 11-22. We all know about the double-doubles of Angel Reese. More double-doubles than anybody in WNBA history. Doesn't matter, rookie or not. Nice accomplishment. She's also being chided for her shooting percentage near the basket, which is pretty poor. I don't even think she's in the 40% range. And I'm talking about near the basket, which is quite terrible. But she's doing a podcast because everything with Angel Reese, and this is certainly her right. It's about the brand. It's about the money. It's about the marketing. I think at this point in time, she's well enough known that she could have started this in the offseason. She could have started this, you know, maybe like, I don't know, if or after the Chicago Sky did or did not make the postseason. I mean, she's in the podcast talking about her brand, and I'm like, win something, please. I get it, national championship at LSU, you did that 2 seasons ago. I get it. We know. But in your first year in the WNBA, it's like everything? Can basketball be the thing first? Like, success there, not individual success, but team success? And so she is unapologetically Angel. And so she was asked a question about her relationship with Caitlin Clark. Her relationship with Caitlin Clark and her fans. And let's just say, I think we knew the answer to this. Caitlin Clark fans, according to Angel Reese, they don't treat her all that well. Matter of fact, it borders or is disgusting. Take a listen to Angel Reese on her relationship, whatever it might be or not, with Caitlin Clark and her fans.
Caitlin is an amazing player, and I've always thought she was an amazing player. We've been playing each other since high school. So I think it's really just the fans, her fans, the Iowa fans, mm-hmm. now the Indiana fans that are like, they ride for her. And I respect that respectfully, but sometimes it's very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of racism when it comes to it. And I don't believe she stands on any of that. But when it comes to death threats, like I'm talking about people have come down to my address, following me home. Like it's come down to that. Multiple occasions, people have made AI pictures of me like naked, literally.
Really?
They have sent it to my family members. My family members are like uncles are sending it to me like,
no.
Are you naked on Instagram? It sucks to see that. And it's really hard that I have to go through that. And now seeing other players even having to go through that. But like at the end of the day, it's a game that we do both love. But there is no hate.
It sucks. But there comes a point in time where, you know, you got to turn things down. And yeah, you have to live your life, but you're a public figure. There comes a point in time where you got to turn things down. You have control over some of the narrative as to how you are received. You know, she has no problem with the attention that she gets when she's now a fashion staple walking into the arena. You know, she did pose in Sports Illustrated. You know, people are going to sexualize you. That's what out. People are nasty. People are going to do and say nasty things regardless. Unfortunately, that's part of being in the public eye. I also think that there's been plenty of times where she's, quote unquote, fed the trolls. And, you know, she doesn't care. But when you talk on the negativity, when you put it in the atmosphere, when you give people that power, they're going to do it and say it more and more and more. You know, I know it's one thing to be on the receiving end of a Caitlin Clark pass during an All-Star game. I know it's one thing to say, oh, there's no problem. But then earlier on this year, you know, she went ahead and she liked the tweet, you know, when Kennedy Carter, you know, kind of pushed her and shoved her down, had no problem backing out of that. So sometimes you got to be real careful of what you say. And I just, for her specifically, at this point in time, I don't think her podcast is a good idea. Quite frankly, a lot of these sports podcasts, they're just bad ideas. Just a bunch of ex-athletes riffing around with no direction because they can, which is good. They have a chance and an opportunity to get out their own thoughts. And if that's what they want, that's good. But to actually have, you know, a little bit more style and substance to it and long term value, that's not what they're in it for. They don't, because they're not doing it for money. I know these things certainly don't necessarily make them money that's worth a damn. And Draymond Green isn't doing this to make money. He's doing it to get a longer term contract when he's done. But for Angel Reese specifically, you couldn't wait a month. You couldn't say, hey, this was my WNBA experience. You couldn't wait to see whether or not your team got into the playoffs. Like a little too much there. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody. Can't listen to them. Can't listen to all of them. I see the bits, the pieces, the blurbs, and I keep it moving. I mean, if I got to start rolling dice, start thinking about rolling out names of who has a podcast next. I mean, sheesh. Is Zion going to have a food podcast? I don't know. I heard Zion Williamson lost weight, by the way. Maybe it'll be a fitness podcast led by Zion Williamson. I don't know. Does Caleb Williams, do we have a podcast coming by Caleb Williams? Kind of at the end of the season, starting in December from the Chicago Bears. For context, let's think about that. You have the number one overall pick coming out of the NFL. Has expectations that he's going to be the star player and the lead for their future. Could you imagine if the Bears just, I don't know, were like 2-4, 2-5, 3-6, below expectations? Could you imagine if Caleb Williams, who has a big presence himself, am I going to say that this man is Angel Reese as polarizing as her? Maybe not. With the nail polish, yeah, he had his thing and crying in the stands after a game. Yeah, he's had his moments. But I think nationally, I think at this point, Angel Reese is probably more well-known than Caleb Williams. Heisman or not, Could you imagine if Caleb Williams just said, I'm going to start a podcast in my rookie season while the team is below 500? Do you want to know what the fans in Chicago would be saying to Caleb Williams? What the hell are you doing? You want to know why Draymond Green has gotten away with everything he's gotten away with on the court? Or specifically starting a podcast? Doing a podcast during the NBA Finals? Because he's on a winning team. And as much as he's a beneficiary, he does contribute to the team, and that's allowed him to be able to talk and run his mouth for a whole lot of people, enabled by Steve Kerr. I think it has more to do with being friends with Steph Curry, but what do I know? The fact is, too many podcasts. Angel Reese, you could have waited. Not necessary. Wholly unnecessary. And now after this first episode, where you've talked about your brand, talked about getting better, your shooting percentage, you address Caitlin Clark and the hate that you receive, what the hell else is there to talk about in episode 2 or 3 or 4? I don't know. I ain't listening unless it pops up on my feed. Marco Belletti, you think about Caleb Williams, certainly polarizing. You think about Angel Reese. More of America knows Angel Reese at this point, right?
Probably off the peripheral of Caitlin Clark. Probably.
Has to. Yeah.
But also, I mean, you got to remember, too, the reach of the NFL. So I don't know. I mean, once Caleb Williams has a couple of good weeks, I think he'll surpass quickly.
I think so. But I think there are grandmas that know who Angel Reese is because of everything that's taken place over the past 2 years.
Yeah, look, the Caitlin Clark reach, and it's gotten into mainstream America, non-sports America, if you will. So, yes, but it's peripheral because it's more Caitlin Clark and, oh, that other girl that she faced a bunch of times. So I'm not sure Angel Reese has got the name recognition as much as the facial recognition, if that makes sense.
Well, you got to be careful because, according to Angel Reese, people are showing up to see her too, okay? Remember that, Marco. Don't forget it.
Okay.
All right. She's going to talk about you in the next episode.
All right.
I don't know if anybody's going to hear it, but...
Well, that's what I mean. She's supposed to be spilling the tea, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Spill the tea.
Why couldn't she wait until they lost or got eliminated? Come on, man.
You're right. I do wonder if whoever this podcast is, and I don't know, whatever the money aspect, it's also like I can't go let you go into oblivion after the season's over and have you talk then. I need you to talk now while you're still somewhat in the spotlight, so I can't let you wait. I wonder if it was whatever partner she's working with.
Well, I think those are all conversations that you can have postseason because you can actually, well, if she's still doing this, the season will end and then she can keep on talking, okay? I guess that's the thought process, so whatever. I think from a women's basketball, women's sports perspective, like me personally, I'm going to be as critical of the women as I am to the men. And I just think, like, that's why I said if Caleb Williams started a podcast on a losing team at the end of the year, people would be saying, like, yo, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing? And so in her case, I say the same thing. And I get it. It's driven by money. She ain't making the money that Caleb is. Come on, the guy has a signing bonus of $25 million.
Right.
And so I understand the cash and the money. I totally get that element. But in her case, I don't think she's losing out on money. I don't think she's going anywhere. And so I'm like, damn, you couldn't wait a couple of weeks? But hell, what do I know? Not my money.
And I don't think necessarily with the money, because NIL and all that, I don't think it's the money. I expect as much as they don't make nearly as much as they probably should, and they will in the future, hopefully. I don't know if it's truly that, although no one can ever make enough money. But I think it's more of the exposure of the league. They're trying to, and I think she's also trying to capitalize on the exposure at the time, because you never know when it goes away. You never know if a Fed comes to an end. I mean, are we going to do this? Hopefully, it's building and it's going to that, but is it going to be building and going to that with Angel Reese in the centerpiece?
Wow.
I don't know that.
And as much talking as she does, I mean, I think it might.
I would think so, too. And again, I've said this from the start. As popular as Caitlin Clark is, you need a foe. You can't do this. You can't do the protagonist and you need both. You need protagonist and antagonist. So Angel Reese serves a major purpose in the popularity of Caitlin Clark and the exposure of the league, because as much as Clark can take it to another level, if she becomes what everybody, and she's already on her way, she still needs somebody that you can't have Magic and Bird without Magic and Bird. You got to have the other. You do.
Well, she said she's going to improve on her her shooting percentage, Marco. So once she's able to knock down that elbow, Jay, yeah, we'll have something on the basketball court, I guess. Well, I don't know.
Definitely, especially. And look, she's able to rebound. She can't shoot. She's got to be able to finish, and she's got to be able to shoot. She can start doing that. She's going to be racking up double-doubles left and right, and they're not going to be 10 and 12. They're going to be, you know, 24 and 15. Different game.
Yeah, she'll be on her way. Can't wait for that 30-20 game when she's able to do it. We'll see. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of a game, we got one going on right now in Sao Paulo, Brazil. On the other side of the break, we are going to get ready to roll out. I'm going to share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Well, we got a game, man. A lot of offense. It started off kind of slow. Got a lot of offense right now. Green Bay leading Philadelphia 19-14. A little less than 2 minutes to go. They're getting ready to snap the ball here. The fans are getting some action. Marco Belletti said it's slick. And I figured there was going to be something going on with the field. When have you ever seen an NFL game that doesn't consistently take place on an NFL field where there's not a problem? I feel like there always is. I mean, damn it, in the NFL, they have fields that the players can't stand, whether it's grass or in some cases it's turf. Some fields are just crap. That's just flat how things are. Can't do a damn thing about it. Man, what a week it's been. Finally got NFL back. Able to sit back and enjoy that. Got a full slate of Sundays. Sundays are going to be different from here on out as the season gets underway. We had the game last night in Kansas City. We got a game tonight in Brazil. We got college football tomorrow. I'll be watching to see what Michigan does and to make fun of them. I mean, just U.S. Open as well. There's just so much to watch. And this is just ahead of us. These are things that are in front of us. But you know what? It's the end of the show, as I do at the end of every show. It's time to go back this day in sports history. Today is September 6th. Let's go.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Today is September 6th, 2024. But if we go back in time, we had quite a few things, historical things that took place this day in sports history. Let's go back to September 6th in 1995. You might know this man's name. His name is Cal Ripken Jr. This was the day that he passed Lou Gehrig and he became the Iron Horse. 2,131 consecutive games played. The Orioles beat the Angels 4-2. Ripken hit a fourth inning home run. But by the time we had an official game, they paused it after five. And they showed a lot of love to Cal Ripken Jr. Take a listen to this courtesy of ESPN.
What began on May 30th, 1982, and continues September 6th, 1995. This game, with the Angels trailing, is now in the books. And let it be said that number 8, Cal Ripken Jr., has reached the unreachable star.
Man, the man, he broke the record in 1995. He ended the streak in 1998 at 2,632 games. That's a streak that won't be broken unless we got robot players. OK, and then he retired after 2001. Exactly a year later, also at Camden Yards in 1996, Eddie Murray back with the Orioles, hit his 500th home run against the Tigers. Take a listen to this.
This might be it. Way back it is. It's gone. Hey, 500 for Eddie Murray.
That's crazy. Eddie Murray, man, that was his 20th season. Went into the Hall of Fame in 2003. At the time, he was only the 15th player to surpass 500 home runs. 1995, Cal Ripken passed Lou Gehrig. 96, Eddie Murray, 500 home runs. Same exact day. Life is funny like that sometimes. Let's hit the fast forward button. September 6th, 2008, Serena Williams won her third U.S. Open title, beating Jelena Jankovic. Take a listen.
Six, four, and 7-5, her third U.S. Open title. The last one was back in 2002. 6 years later, you said earlier, I think she's an even better player now.
Yeah, I mean, Serena all-time ended up with six U.S. Opens. This lady, big time, best female tennis player of all time. She finished with 23 Grand Slams. That was in 2008. Let's hit the fast forward button a little bit more. Well, damn it, 12 years later, September 6, 2020. Yeah, this wasn't good, that COVID year. Maybe that's why. Novak Djokovic, he was at the U.S. Open. And let's just say he got in trouble, a lot of trouble. Listen to this.
We want to turn now to that bizarre moment at the U.S. Open that so many are talking about. Top-ranked tennis superstar Novak Djokovic abruptly disqualified from the tournament after he hit a ball toward the backboard and struck a line judge in the throat. Adrian Bankert has the latest.
Game, Karen Yugustav.
He was undefeated, now he's out. The number one tennis player in the world ousted from the U.S. Open. Novak Djokovic hit a ball out of anger from the court, frustrated after losing a point to Spain's Pablo Carreño Busta, accidentally striking a lineswoman in the neck. You can see the star player immediately running over as she collapsed to the ground to see if she was okay. Medics running to the court to attend to her.
Wait, guys, we've got a problem here.
Within minutes, judges determined she could not return to the match, and neither can Djokovic, the top-seeded player thrown out of the tournament. He shook Busta's hand and left quickly without speaking to anyone.
And then he talked about apologizing and being better and learning and all that stuff. And now the guy has 24 Grand Slams. Nobody talks about that, and it was a woman. Like, he was upset, and this woman hit the floor, and she's grabbing her throat. It's just not a good sight. Not at the top of the list for Novak Djokovic. That audio, that sound you just heard, was courtesy of Good Morning America. And those were just a few things that took place this day in sports history, but they were certainly the biggest things. If you need a reminder, today, it has been September 6th all day long. And that's it. Those are a few things that took place this day in sports. It's been a busy week. I feel like I had an extended holiday week. I wasn't able to come back until the middle of the week. Unfortunately, I won't have a full week next week as well towards the end. We got this game in Brazil as we head into halftime. Green Bay has just held on to the lead. Philadelphia drills a field goal. It is Green Bay 19, Philadelphia 17 at the half. If the fans in Brazil wanted a high-scoring game, they certainly got one. And why not? This is what the NFL would want, action, right? Who the hell wants to go to a game, never been to a game, and there's no score? Imagine going to your first baseball game, never have seen in baseball, and there's a pitcher's duel. You're going, this is not all that exciting. Where the hell is the offense? That's what people would be saying. But plenty going on. I'm looking forward to a full slate of college football tomorrow, keeping up with the U.S. Open, watching the NFL on Sunday. If you want to follow me, you can find me everywhere online. I am at JR Sport Brief, not a difficult person to find. I'm everywhere. And if you missed a minute of the show, it's the same thing. You hit rewind on the Free Odyssey app. I want to thank Cordell Woodland for joining us from 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. He came through, dropped a lot of knowledge on not just the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Coach Harbaugh, the defense, what the team will look like at the end of the year. He's like, listen, Lamar's out there. They're going to be good. And thank you as well to our producer tonight who helped hold things down. Nico, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JR. You're the man.
Well, thank you. And you got a fun weekend coming up. You said you're going to Detroit?
Yes. So as the new producer of Gridiron Game Day, formerly known as Ion Football, we'll be doing our week one show on Sunday live from the MGM Grand in Detroit.
Beautiful. I've spent a lot of time, unfortunately, in that place. So have fun, but not as much fun as I would, okay? That gets you fired.
That sounds good.
Thank you so much, Nico. Listen, people, the JR Sport Beat Show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done. Don't leave, don't move, don't go anywhere. Why? Bart Winkler is up next. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy the sports. The JR Sport Beat Show will be back with you Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Be well, be smooth, be cool, be safe. Thank you so much.